On the first Christmas Eve, some of us have been without power, some of us have been roughing it, some of us have been looking to the kindness of family or friends to get by and to make do, just in some ways as Mary and Joseph did. They were away from their family, they were away from home, they were in need, and they found some shelter in not the likeliest of places, but they found shelter nonetheless. Jesus came in conditions that were difficult for his parents. Jesus came in conditions that were not ideal. But Jesus came because God loves us. And so as we gather here this evening to celebrate the birth of our Lord many, many years ago, we can understand and know that he shares our journey. He shares our sorrows. He shares our joys because he came to share our life and to give his to us. Let's open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your presence with us. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus, almost 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, to a young girl and a young man. Father, thank you that you are a God who is always with us. And Father, I thank you for just the recent good news for Sheila and Doug and just the test results that she's had. And Father, thank you for the truth and the sure knowledge that you heal. Father God, thank you that right now you are with Owen and with John and Lena and the family, Father, as this Christmas is going to be one filled with stress and with tension and with awaiting test results. Father God, thank you for your presence with them. And Father, would you please continue to work in Owen's very blood, in his body. Father, as today got word that a president of a sister denomination to us, the missionary church in Nigeria, they've lost their president in an accident. Father God, I want to thank you for the life of Ishaya Noma, the life of one who it took courage for him to follow Christ in an environment that's very hostile to Christianity. It was when he became a follower of you. Father, I thank you for the leadership that he has given to your church there in Nigeria as part of your church in Nigeria. And Father, even now I pray that you would be giving comfort to not just the whole church, but Father, particularly to the leadership as they look to who, Father, is to be your leader, the one who would serve you and your church in that nation. And Father, as we gather here, we're gathered coming from those of us who have had no significant hardships over the last few days, and some of us who are still enduring and still going through difficulty. Father, thank you that you are present with us all. And thank you that no matter what the circumstances we face, no matter what circumstances we are experiencing, Father God, you are real, you are true, you love us, you are with us, and Father, your joy can sustain us through all things. Because truly, Lord, joy in you can be our strength. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence here. May we celebrate you with all that we have and all that we are, to your glory. Amen. Jeannie, would you lead us in song?
And as we celebrate this beautiful evening together, remembering the birth of our Lord, what better way to start than with joy to the world? Would you please stand?
Thank you. This evening I will be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Cyrenius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them. Thank you.
That was just beautiful, Roger. Thank you. That was the birthday of a king. Would you please stand again as we sing this next great Christmas chorus, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Please stand.
On the night Jesus was born, angels rang out in praise, declaring glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. For those of us who consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, these words are pleasing and bring us peace. After all, we count ourselves as those with whom God is pleased. But the words of the angels also declare that Christmas does not bring peace to all. Simeon, upon seeing Jesus as an infant, declared that Jesus would cause many to rise and fall, that he would reveal the thoughts of many hearts. And so he did, and so he still does today. What's the result of this peace to bring in our lives? The peace we have with God should not cause us to be complacent or self-satisfied, but provoke both praise and purpose. Praise for the God who came to make and show the way of peace with God, and purpose to proclaim that invitation of peace with God to others. In essence, to be a good neighbor or co-worker or family member, we are to be as the angels were to the shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem. Let us proclaim the invitation to peace with God through Jesus.
As we come to the close of the Advent season, we light this candle in honor of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Let's let light remind us of the God who called the nation of Israel to be a light to the nations, and of our God who instructs us to be the light of the world by empowering us with his Spirit. Let us pray together. Father God, you sent Jesus so that we might see you more clearly. Jesus, you came so that we might believe in you and find peace with God. So as you came for the sake of others, would we follow your example and shine your light to those around us with boldness? For we pray this in the name of the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Our next Christmas hymn is It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. And for the first two verses, we're just going to stay seated. Then there will be a message, and then we'll finish it off after that. So let's just stay sitting and enjoy this beautiful hymn.
That evening to a group of shepherds in a field. A message of peace to a weary world. Now, how many of you that haven't had power are a little weary? A little weary of things not working as they're supposed to. A little weary of not being able to do simple things as simply as we're used to. Have you ever noticed that when things get broken, it tends to be tiring? When things don't work the way they should, when things just aren't running smoothly, it's really easy to become tired. And may not be physically tired, maybe it's emotionally tired. It becomes easier to snap, easier to react. This song sings about a weary world that the angels came to bring a message of peace to. Because the world was weary because it was broken. When Bridget and even my parents, we went to Nigeria for Bridget and I, it was our second time. My parents, they came with us for 9 months. We came to a house that was broken. And when I say broken, I mean broken. We arrived at our house at about somewhere around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening, having, you know, a couple vehicles to unpack and bring our things into, and we found a house where they couldn't find the keys to unlock the house at first. And then when we got into the house, well, we spent until 1:30 that morning getting things just so that we could have a clean bed to sleep in that night. It took about 3 months for the house to get back into the order it had been when we had left it 3 years ago. It was tiring. It wore us down because the house was just broken. We live in a broken world where so many systems in our world are broken, where things just aren't, especially for some, aren't easy. For all of us here, whether we had power or not, we did have a roof over our heads. Not everyone in our cities, not everyone in our communities could say that. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that has broken relationships. And if you've been in a relationship that's stressed, that's strained, that's broken, it's a wearying relationship, isn't it? It's tiring. It requires energy to whether it's to restore the relationship, to reconcile, or if there's just a continuing being at odds. Probably all of us have one or more of those people where even if we had call display and we see it's their name that comes up on the screen, there's something in our spirits that just goes, and we almost feel tired to pick up the phone. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that's weary. We ourselves, whether we're followers of Jesus or not, experience weariness in some form or another. And the brokenness of this world and the brokenness of our relationships breaks the heart of God. It breaks the heart of God because when he sees those he has made in his image and they are weary, his heart breaks for those. And God's heart also breaks, not in sorrow, but in anger at those who break the hearts, bring weariness into the lives of those he has made in his image. And we need to remember, each and every one of us here, we are both of those people. We are both those who are weary. We are both those who have experienced brokenness. We are both those who are hurting, and we are ones who have hurt and broken and damaged and wearied others. We have participated in the brokenness of others. And so God came. God came to a world that was broken because there were broken people he had made in his image, and he wanted to bring peace. This is Christmas. We celebrate that the Prince of Peace has come. And so to help us enter into the peace that God wants us to receive from him, and more, not just the type of peace, but I mean God's intent, God's sincerity, God's genuineness in offering peace both to the brokenhearted and to those who do the breaking. Again, both of those are all of us. I want to use an image, and it may be familiar to some of you, but it's not from our culture. It's an image of God's offer of peace that comes from an area of the world called Irian Jaya, Papua New Guinea. It comes from a culture that's very different than ours. This comes from a culture where, up until a few decades ago, they practiced cannibalism. Very different from our culture. This is a culture where One of the highest values in their culture was deception and betrayal. That not just telling a lie, but getting someone to believe that you're their friend, and then to stab them in the back at the most unexpected time, those were the stories of legend. Those were the stories of the real heroes of this culture. And this culture was made up of a number of, and again, if you don't know the terrain of Irian Jaya, it's very mountainous. There's lots of, you know, valleys, and it's lush rainforest, and there's these isolated villages all throughout the region. And these villages who shared this culture of betrayal and deception, at times, though, they would need each other. They would want to help each other. They would want to enter into alliance. And so times when hunters might meet out in the forest, they might start to discuss and start to dialogue because maybe there was a village that was ripe for the pickings, or maybe there was a village that was growing and attacking another and they needed someone to help them defend themselves. There's always reason to have an alliance. But how do you trust exactly? How do you know that that group of hunters from that other village isn't just, in some ways, literally buttering you up? This is the culture that missionaries came in and around the 1960s. And they learned the language, and they started learning the culture, and they started sharing the story of the Bible. And when they got to the story of Jesus, when they got to the life of Jesus and began telling the story of Jesus, and it came through his years of ministry and the things he taught and the miracles that he did, and what came to the time in the Garden of Gethsemane where Judas kissed Jesus, betraying him, the missionaries were shocked and horrified as the village just erupted in our equivalent would be, you know, high fives and, you know, just celebrated Judas's actions. Judas was the hero of the story. Okay. Very different than what we would think of, than what we would expect. How, in a culture like that, could you ever trust that someone's offer of peace was genuine? How in a culture where betrayal and deception and dishonesty were virtues, could you ever trust that one who you had harmed or one who you had thought had harmed you was serious about reconciliation, was serious about peace, was serious and not just looking for another opportunity to stab you in the back? The missionaries found that there was something in this culture. That if you wanted to show that your offer of peace was genuine, sincere, absolute, without reservation, without any possibility of deception, in this culture, with a high infant mortality rate, one village would offer the other village a child, a peace child. Because culturally what they had was an understanding, was a statement that we are going to give you one of the most precious things that we have as a village, one of our own children, and we are going to give that child to you. And in doing that, what was being said is we will be at peace with you as long as that child lives. It's a guarantee. You can be assured. We will never attack you. We will not deceive you. We will not do anything against you as long as that child lives. And the missionaries knew the picture of Christ to give to this village, to give to these people. Jesus is God's peace child. Jesus is God's guarantee, God's assurance to us, those of us who are brokenhearted, those of us who are weary, and those of us
who have wearied others. We can trust that God's gift, God's offer, God's invitation for us to accept peace with Him, to the peace that can soothe our weariness, the peace that can be beyond all understanding, the peace that can see us through difficult times, is genuine, is assured, is guaranteed. And for those of us who, well, we've wearied God, we've broken His heart because we've been damaging the lives of others around us. And sometimes it's unintentional, yes. Other times it's not. That's irrelevant. We've been angering God because we've been hurting those that He loves. Jesus is God's peace child to us. God's guarantee that as long as Jesus lives, the Jesus who rose from the grave, the Jesus whom death cannot defeat, Jesus, the God who is eternal, Jesus is God's guarantee to us that His offer of peace with Him is assured, is genuine, is true. The question for us this evening, for the places in your life where you are just weary, and for most of us here, it's likely in the area of relationships. There's a relationship that you have, or relationships that you have, that are just burdening your soul. Jesus is God's peace child to you. In Jesus, you can find a way to free yourself from that weariness. May not solve everything in the relationship, but within you, there'll be peace. For all of us, whatever our attitudes, our habits, our actions that harm God, that harm those around us, that harm ourselves, because you too are one that God has made in His image. You too are one that God loves. Jesus is God's peace child to you. That whatever it may be, God says to all of us today, if we confess and repent, He is faithful to forgive. He is faithful to bring peace into our hearts. He is faithful to you. In Iri and Jaya, the village, they had to make a choice. Will they accept that child? Will they accept that offer from the village? Tonight it's our choice. Whether we're a follower of Jesus or not, Jesus is God's peace child to us. How is God calling you to receive His peace child to you? The Prince of Peace has come. We need not be so weary. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the gift of Your Son. Lord Jesus, we celebrate Your birth because 33 years later, You willingly laid down Your life on a cross so that You would in 3 days pick it up again, and that there's an empty tomb. Father God, thank You for the assurance that because Jesus cannot die, Your offer of peace to us is always sure, always true, always genuine, always available. Holy Spirit, would you show each and every one of us here where you are looking to give and bring more peace into our lives, into our hearts, our families, our relationships, and this world that you have made. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. Amen. As we conclude our service this evening, we're going to light some candles. So I'm just going to invite you to stand, and Jenny is going to come and lead us in a moment. But I want to give a few instructions, and there's going to be the ushers are going to come forward. So as you have your candle, first of all, you have to be 8 to hold your own candle. So parents, if you have someone younger than 8 with you, please, if you could help hold the candle. And so again, please stand. As you hold your candle, the ushers are going to come through with the lit candle as we're singing. The usher will hold their candle upright. If you're lighting your candle, come in from the side. Once your candle is lit, please hold it upright, and the next person will light from you and will fill up in that way. So ushers, I see the candles are being lit. As you come forward, Ginny, would you lead us in our closing songs? days, a number of us have grown to appreciate light in a fresh way. You're all holding lights. Jesus, in his most famous sermon, said to his followers, "You are the light of the world." We're finishing off in one sense a year, but an end is also a beginning, because we're about to begin a new year. And before you extinguish your candle, just for a moment, I just want to ask us all to reflect on this. Whose light? What light? What message do you want to bring into the new year? Do you want to shine forth? We just sang, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. May we, may you, may I radiate, not produce, but radiate, reflect the Son of God, love's pure light. May he shine through us to the glory of God. Amen. You may please blow out your candles, and I just want to do one closing prayer over you before we go. Father God, may you bless us with your peace. Lord Jesus, would you lead us by your love? And Holy Spirit, would you empower us all to bring glory to you, the triune God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless, and have a Merry Christmas.